Hey there, it's Nikki Klosser, and I want to let you know about an awesome free giveaway for people on our email list. If you haven't already, click the link in our podcast description or go to theportraitsystem.com/signup to get on the list. If you sign up, you'll get a free Posing 101 PDF to jumpstart things. It's an epic PDF, so you'll definitely want to get this. Also, just by being in our email community, you'll get deals, sales, and information about any of our upcoming events and activities. So head over to theportraitsystem.com/signup and sign up today. You're listening to the Portrait System Podcast.
I can photograph dogs. I can talk about dogs. I can help other people build their businesses and build their creative skills in this industry as well. And it's just, perfect, really. I'm absolutely loving it.
Welcome to the Portrait System Podcast. I'm your host, Nikki Klosser, and this show is here to help you succeed in the world of photography and business, to help you learn to become financially free doing what you love and so much more. With over 1 million downloads, countless photographers have taken what they've learned from both our episodes and from theportraitsystem.com, and they have grown their businesses, quit their day jobs, and are designing a life of their dreams. We keep it real and share stories about the ups and downs that come with running a photography business. You'll hear real life stories of how other photographers run their business, and you'll learn actionable steps that you can take to reach your own goals. Thank you so much for being here, and let's get started. Hey guys, now is your chance to check out all of the incredible photography education we have available for you at theportraitsystem.com. For only $7, you will get access to over 1,000 videos, including pricing, posing, marketing, lighting, sales, inspiring photo shoots, self-value, and more. Yes, you'll get your first month for only $7 when you become a pro member, and you'll get access to the full download library with posing guides and workbooks and so much more. Also, this includes a pricing calculator, a studio startup timeline, our weekly live broadcasts, including Sue Bryce's live talks, access to our private, members-only Facebook groups, special discounts on photography products, and so much more. Head over to theportraitsystem.com and enter the code PODCAST7 to get your first month for only $7. That's theportraitsystem.com and enter the code PODCAST7. This week, my guest on The Portrait System is Craig Turner Bullock. Craig is a pet photographer who has had a very successful career for many years, so much so that he has an average sale of $2,800 photographing pets. Craig splits his time between private client work and also commercial work for companies that have something to do with animals and pets. In addition to Craig sharing all about how he runs his business and how he finds his clients, we also talk about the benefits of having pets and how incredible it is that animals can help us to get through hard times. Okay, let's get started with Craig Turner Bullock. Hi, Craig. How are you?
Hey, Nikki. I'm great. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much for being on The Portrait System.
That's no problem. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Well, I learned of you through Richard Wood. And because we were, okay, so we added the pet category. I feel like we might have started with pets as a category in the Portrait Masters Awards and Accreditation. I think that was one of our main early on categories. Anyway, so a couple of years ago, Richard was like, one of the most amazing pet photographers in the world. We need him on our judging panel, you know, to start with pets or whatever. And we all were, of course, in agreeance. And then that's kind of when you came on my radar and I started learning all about just your incredible pet work.
Yeah, good old Richard. Thanks, Richard, for that. I've been absolutely loving jumping on and doing the judging with the awards. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool, especially, you know, now that we offer the feedback. Being able to read the judges' feedback on different images is really, it's really cool. Because I think, well, we'll get into this, but, you know, pets are a whole different beast. And there are just little things that I think can make the image, it's like the little details that can make the image of an animal go from, oh, that's pretty good, to like, wow.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's been really cool just to see which, you know, in the top 20 galleries, you know, throughout the last however many years. And yeah, it's been really interesting. Let's talk a little bit about your background with pets and animals. Just reading a little bit about you on your website, it sounds like animals have been part of your life, like since you were just a little boy.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, I guess growing up, we only ever had one family dog, Lassie, who we had at home when I was very young. And then since then, I've always had other animals. I had parrots, and I used to breed and hand-raise parrots when I was in my young teenage years.
Wow.
We had, you know, hamsters and gerbils and guinea pigs and rabbits and lizards and snakes and all sorts of things. So I've always been surrounded by animals. And I don't know, I guess really for me, they were my cure for loneliness growing up. I was really lonely and quite depressed as a child. As a young teenage person on a very small island, it was pretty tough growing up, different. I always looked different. I always acted different. I knew from a young age that I was gay, and I was bullied for that a lot by my teachers, by other mm-hmm. students. And so I would just retreat into my little world of animals and music, really. And I started getting into photography in my art classes at school. And really, I had no desire to create images of people or anything like that. It was really all about animals for me always. And so after I left school, I worked in a bird zoo, bird gardens, and I was the head keeper there. And really, that's when I started taking a lot more images, more just as record shots of the behavior and what was going on at the time with the birds and things like that. And then sort of, I think about 1996, so this is a long time ago, I've been doing this a while now. About 96, the bird gardens closed down. I went to work at Boots, which anybody who's been to the UK will probably know Boots. It's a big kind of chemist department store. And I worked in the photo lab there, and I learned processing and reading the negatives to make color corrections and that whole kind of color theory stuff and all of that. And then I started taking on photography jobs as a side gig in about 1998. And at that point, I just took any job that, you know, people would pay me for or mm-hmm. even not pay me for, that people wanted me to do. Again, very quickly realizing that portraits at the beach with families and weddings were not what I wanted to be doing with my photography career and my spare time. So I've been pets only since 2001.
Wow, and over 20 years.
Yeah, and more than 20 years ago. Yeah, it's just crazy, really. It seems to have gone by in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I think sometimes people have this passion for any, it could be anything, you know, in your example, it's animals, pets. And to be able to take that passion and turn it into such an incredible career, to monetize something that is so important to you and something that helped you through some pretty shitty childhood times, and to be able to, you know, turn this into this really amazing career, it's awesome. It's really great.
I think, you know, I think a lot of us creatives definitely come from a difficult place. That creativity starts in as a way to deal with some kind of trauma or difficult times or, you know, it's really interesting. I love talking to other photographers about their backgrounds and finding out, you know, a bit about that. And I don't know, I guess because I'm so open about mine and, you know, my history and things, that people feel maybe a bit more relaxed and open with me as well in return.
Yeah.
And yeah, just talking to people, you know, other pet photographers, you know, so many people that I talk to in the pet photography industry have got, you know, similar stories where they had hard times as a child, that they went through difficult stuff, that there was illnesses or losses or some other thing, and animals were their comfort.
You know,
their safe space was at home with the dog or whatever it might be. And I think that's just a testament to the power of animals and of our pets, really, you know, and those relationships and those bonds that we have with them.
Mm-hmm. My husband has talked about how he just in third grade, you know, second and third grade, that age. So what are you, eight and nine years old, he said he didn't have any friends. Like his dog, he was so painfully shy that he couldn't bring himself to speak to anyone at school.
Yeah.
And dog Sheba was his only friend, you know, and he would come home and Sheba would be the one that was there to love on him. Yeah. It's they are. They're the most powerful. I mean, I was a cat. I had cats growing up. I had my cats for 18 years. And I mean, they really changed. This is going to sound kind of weird, but my cats like changed the trajectory of my life. Like I always really wanted to go into the Peace Corps. But when I was, I graduated high school in 95. So this was like 97-ish. I considered filling out this Peace Corps application and I looked down at my cats and I was like, I have no one to take them if I go to the Peace Corps. So I just didn't go because of my cats. You know, It's this like, and I have zero regrets of that. But it's just really interesting how cats can play such a significant role in your life.
Yeah. Well, even now it's like, planning lots of travel and I've got heaps of big plans for the rest of this year all of that. And looking at my two boys, my two cats and Ralph, my dog, like leaving them for months this year is going to be really hard.
It's so hard.
We lost one of our boys just before Christmas and it's really, it's such a challenge to go through that and then think, we've got one of our, well, both of our cats are getting on a bit now as well, but one of them is also diabetic. So, we don't know how that's all going to go and if he'll live a normal life for the rest of his life. I mean, he's been doing really, really well, but it's just one of those things you just don't know. And I'm like, the last thing I want to do is be away and one of them go. And it's so hard to find that balance, isn't it?
It really is. And I promise we'll stop talking about depressing pet stories, but our dog is 13, Sunny. And Dan and I got her, before we got married, we've been together, 16 years and she's almost 14. And the other day, well, I guess it's been 2 weeks now, she just fell over and couldn't get up. And I was like, what is happening? Because she's half lab, half poodle. She runs around she's older, she slowed down a little bit, but she is still kicking. And all of a sudden she just fell over. And I was like, what is happening? So I rushed her to the vet and I thought her hips were done. And she has some sort of, they call it like vestibular disease, where it's kind of like a vertigo type situation, but it's not going away. So they think it could be a brain tumor. And we are just like, yeah, no, we're not. There's no way we would put her through brain surgery. She's almost 14 years old. And we're not going to go like a chemo route. So we're like, okay, how can we manage this? Can we just keep giving her this like anti-dizzy medication? Because when she takes the medication, she's like 80-85% okay. So that's what we're doing. And we're just hoping for the best. And exactly what you said, I have a ton. I'm coming to New Zealand to see, for NZIPB. IPB. And I have to be away. And it's like,
it's so hard. And, this is one of the reasons I think you speak to any pet photographer and it's a huge part of why we do what we do.
Yes.
We don't have our pets with us for as long as we would want them to be. And we all, as pet owners, go through a loss of a pet at some stage. It's just inevitable. Mm-hmm. And to be able to celebrate that legacy that they leave with images that you have on the wall forever, it's just so, so special to be able to do that for people.
It really is. So, Craig, what would you say? Because I've had people say to me, I just want to photograph pets. I don't want anything to do with humans. I just want to photograph animals, but I don't know how to do that for a living. Like there just aren't enough clients out there for me. Have you heard people say that?
Let me tell you this. there is an owner behind every pet.
Yes.
You might not be having them in front of the camera, but you still are going to have to deal with the pet owner.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
I've joked so many times about what I'm going to start doing is I'm going to go and pick the animal up from the house. I'm going to go and do the shoot and then I'm going to drop it off when it's done. I don't want to be in contact with the owners very much or as little as possible. But the reality is that, that whole process that you go through on a session, having the owner there makes the animal much more at ease.
Nearly
always anyway. There are cases when, it doesn't. Then, the owner being involved in the experience and seeing the I don't know, the magic that happens on the session where, you know, oh, my dog will never sit still and you say sit and then it does what it's told and they think you're some kind of magician, but really they're just doing it because, oh, somebody strange is telling me to do it and I don't know if they mean it or not. But right. when my mum tells me to sit, she still gives me the treat whether I sit or not, right. You know. So that's the kind of reality behind it. So we do have to still deal with people.
Yeah.
Yes, we might not have them behind the camera. You might really be absolutely pets in front of the camera only. Or, you know, you might want to photograph those bonds between the pet and the owner. And that's something when I started, nobody was doing pet photography. So I used to get really weird looks and questions and strange reactions when I said I was a pet photographer. But as time has gone on, it's gone from, oh no, I don't want to be in any photos at all, ever. Don't you dare put me in a picture from an owner, to a lot more owners wanting to be part of the images in some way as well. So I think you just have to decide what works for you. I quite like capturing that bond. And I think that's a really special thing to be able to do. But that's not what I want my main focus to be on. So, you know, I curate what I show on social media and things. So it's just images of the animals. I don't want people coming to me going, hey, I saw this photo of this family with their dog and I want to do a family session with you. You know, I'm not a family photographer. I am a pet photographer. So I just put out there what I want to get back, you know, and then I ask clients at their consultations, you know, do you want to be in the photos? Do you want to be in them, but in the background out of focus? Do you want to be having candid shots? Do you want some posed shots or do you not want to be in them at all? So I give them like a you know, four options basically to give me an idea of how involved they want to be and how much they want to be in the images.
I like that. Yeah. Okay. So for the people who are saying though, there's just, you know, how do I even find enough clients to do pet photography? You know, what would you say to them?
You know, there are pets everywhere. you just have to be able to work out a way to get to those people who love their pets. You know, for people in the States, you have the highest pet ownership per capita in the world. And I will guarantee you in your town that there are enough clients out there for you to make a full-time living just shooting pets.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just how you reach them. That's the hard part.
Okay, so can you talk a little bit about how you reach your client?
Yeah, absolutely. And how you,
real quick though, it seems like you have two parts to your, you have three parts to your business. You have the pet owners. So someone like me who would contact you and say, we need portraits of Sunny. She's not doing great and we want to get her while she's still, you know, out running around.
Yep.
You have your commercial part of your business and then you have your education part where you teach other photographers how to be pet photographers. So can you dive into how you find your clients?
Sure. So with my private clients, you know, my regular portrait sessions, I have a couple of ways of reaching people. And usually that's some form of in-person events. I really struggle with phone calls and I also struggle with emails. So I like to be able to actually go and see people face to face. So I'll go to local events. So we have a few events in Christchurch every year that are really awesome dog related events. So we have like a couple of community dog walks. We have the Pet Expo here. So, you know, I'll have a little booth at the Pet Expo and just trying to connect face to face. And I've built over the years some really good relationships with a lot of local businesses as well. And that's been great for my awareness of my business in the community to get me my private clients. But also it's led me to lots of those kind of smaller commercial jobs with small businesses, which I love doing those jobs with a single business owner where, you know, your images can make a big difference to them. Otherwise, they're just taking photos on their cell phone, or they're buying terrible, terrible stock images for, or you know, downloading free ones. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's a anybody that does any commercial pet photography will know that there's a Jack Russell that is very, very cheap or free on many, many stock sites. And
jumping, you know, is he like jumping through the air?
Oh, he's doing all sorts of different activities. I mean, the photographer who shot this dog is clearly a genius and has probably made many, many, many dollars from mm-hmm. these images, but it's like the cheapest stock that you can buy. And so, you know, you walk around an expo, for example, and, you know, there's 50 local businesses there, and I can guarantee you see this Jack Russell 20 times at 20 of these businesses. So just getting out, meeting face-to-face is I think, the best way to connect with people. When you speak to them face-to-face, you know, you can connect immediately and easily. They become much more at ease with you. They trust you much more easily when you're face to face, then, you know, going backwards and forwards through email, you know, your tone can be interpreted in different ways in emails. So they don't really know who you are necessarily through email. And yeah, like I said, I just try and avoid the phone as much as I can, which probably isn't, the advice I should give, but yeah, I hate doing phone calls. So yeah, face to face as much as possible, attend events. I always take my camera. Nearly always take my camera, and I try and introduce myself to people and photograph the dogs on the day. And I just put a gallery up on Facebook of images that I've taken at events. And honestly, like, yes, people are going to screenshot them and download them. I don't care. Like, yeah. they're not my best work. They're taken at midday in a sunny day in the summer in New Zealand. The light's crap, you know, right. And they're just little things. But if I can show them in a minute or two that I can connect with their animal, that I can get the dog looking up at me, and I can take that kind of looking down puppy dog eyes shot and give them really nice eye contact and really glossy eyes, then they're going to be like, oh, if he's done that at an expo in the middle of the day in 2 minutes, what's it going to look like if we actually do a full hour and a half session with him at some stage?
Yeah, I love that. Giving them a little taste of it.
Right. So yeah, giving them a little taster, making people feel at ease that I can actually make that connection with that animal. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest objection that I usually come across from people who are not sure about whether they want to book me or not. You know, it's price, or it's, is he going to get on with my dog? Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm talking more specifically about dogs, because really it is, you know, 99% dogs that I'm working with. And so, yeah, if I can show that I can, and their dog's going to like me and not be afraid of me or whatever, then that objection immediately goes away. And that's one of the reasons that several years ago, I introduced a pre-session consultation as well in person. So they can bring the dog to my consult room. So I shoot everything on location, pretty much all natural light as well.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because some of your lighting that I've looked at, I'm like, there's no way he's doing studio light, but it's just, well, okay. And I was thinking, well, maybe is, but I don't know how you can like follow a dog around that's like jumping everywhere and have the studio lights placed perfectly. But it's like, You have some images where the dog is like popping out of the image, but then the background is also perfectly lit. And I was like, how the heck does he do that? So I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, it's just knowing the light and knowing, you know, knowing the location, knowing the light is really the way to do it. And so I do have like an ice light that I use occasionally. So right at the very end of the session, when, you know, we got that kind of twilight time happening, mm-hmm. If I want to grab a couple of last shots, then sometimes I'll pull out an ice light, but really that's the only lighting that I use. And yeah, very rarely do I use it. So yeah, so I always meet the dog at the studio for a pre-session consult now. And immediately that objection of, is my dog going to like him, goes away. Because I know that I'm going to be able to work with a dog, right? I know I'm going to be able to work. And even if it is a nervous dog, I can still get amazing shots of it. And usually by the time we actually you know, working through the session anyway, I am at a point where I've been able to build up a bit of a rapport and a relationship with the animal, which is really helpful when I do that in the studio, in the consult space, before a session. Then when I get to the session, I think the dogs then are more comfortable with me. They remember who you are. They remember that you were the guy that gave them loads of treats when they last saw you, all of that stuff. So that all kind of becomes much easier at the shoot. Just to kind of change a little bit of the topic. So I do a lot of commercial work as well. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I've done, and I don't do it every time, but I've done it before and it's been quite successful, is if I've put a model call out for a commercial job, and I'm always very careful with model calls as well, and that's something I would definitely advise people, is, you know, don't just do a model call because you want business. Make sure that your model calls are actually genuinely model calls for a reason. But if I put a model call out, occasionally what I've done in the past is if they haven't been successful at getting through to the actual being chosen to model for whatever brand or whatever it is, then I will just message them back and say, hey, sorry, you didn't get in. I've got a database of dog models. So I always ask them if they want to be on my database that I can contact them in future. But I also just say, hey, but would you like to come in for a consultation and actually think about booking a session anyway? Mm-hmm. And that's been surprisingly successful as well. So,
That's awesome.
I just try and make sure that I'm super transparent with everything. I don't want to get to the point where we get to the image premiere and they are not prepared for the prices. They're not prepared for the mm-hmm. products or whatever. So everything is sent out up front. I have pricing on my website. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I was going to ask you about next, because on your website, you have your full pricing.
Yeah.
And I noticed that, I believe it's the middle package, it says most clients choose this, most clients pay this, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And I really love that. I mean, it's, you know, part of like marketing 101, or I guess the psychology of marketing, is like planting the seed that this is what most people do. And when people hear, oh, most people do that, well, then that's what I should do.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
And that's not a marketing thing. And that's not a lie either. That is my package that 95% of my clients buy. Yeah. So I sell packages. I do sell a la carte as well. Nearly every client buys a package, and it's nearly always that middle package. So it's $3,500 for my middle package. And that includes an album, a 30-inch canvas piece, and 10 high-res digital files. I also have a couple of upgrade options that they can do from there. And so I shoot a couple of different things that are a little bit more specialist. So I have my Dogoramas. So location and the dog are the important things to me. And I always like to make sure that I'm taking the clients to a place that is meaningful and special to them. Now, within certain criteria, of course. So I'm not going to the dog park, because going to a dog park on a dog shoot is an absolute nightmare.
Right.
So if they say, oh, my dog's happy place is the dog park, I'll say, sure, I don't shoot at dog parks, but why don't we go to this park where I know that I'm going to be able to still get beautiful images. But I make panoramic shots. So, you know, I'll take an image of the dog and then I'll shoot all the landscape around it and I'll merge it all together and I call it a dogorama. So from that middle package, they can upgrade their canvas to an acrylic dogorama for an extra $700. They can upgrade their acrylic to a fur reel, which is actually like an augmented reality. So, you know, you have an app on your phone and you scan the image and a little video plays of their dog playing in the fields or whatever it is. And that, I think, is something that I've been doing recently. That's a really lovely way to share that legacy of their dog with them, that they can have amazing. That memory kind of embedded in an image forever. And so they can do that upgrade as well. And so pretty much every client is buying my middle package and upgrading to a Dogorama or a Furreal, which, you know, then, you know, my average sale now for my private clients, I don't include my commercial clients in my average sale, because commercial jobs are a whole different ball game and would skew their figures somewhat, because, you know, often their jobs are a bit higher paid. But for private clients, my average sale is $4,300 currently.
That's so awesome. In New Zealand too.
Well, that's New Zealand dollars. So, you know, it's not as valuable as your dollars, but hey,
still, I mean,
but, you know, you know, a $4,000 average sale is, you know, something that, well, certainly, you know, 15 years ago, I never thought I would be able to achieve in
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, will you talk a little bit about commercial and just how you get commercial clients?
Yeah. So in a similar way to my private clients, a lot of my commercial clients are from face-to-face meetings. So I work with lots of small businesses. And I, like I said earlier, I love working with the small businesses because you can have a little bit of creative control and you can actually make a really big difference to the businesses. So I have like an introductory offer for small businesses that I do with those people that I really want to work with. And those jobs don't make huge money. Well, I mean, my entry point commercial package is like $1,000 and they get 5 images.
Okay.
But connecting with those people, you have to think of the bigger picture in the commercial world. The commercial world is completely different to the private stuff. And, you know, these images that you're creating for a commercial job are probably going to be used more on a short term. They don't have that emotional connection with the images that they do if it was their pet. Although, often a small business, you know, a single business owner, the working mum that makes doggy bandanas in the spare room during the week and sells them at the fairs and markets at the weekend, you know, often you will use their dog as a model as well. But, you know, the images are to do a job at the end of the day. So they don't have that emotional investment. And they are going to need more images. So yes, it's only $1,000 for 5 images right now. But in 6 months' time, in a year's time, when they come back for more, or you follow up with them and see if they need any more images, the value of that client over the course of the lifetime of that client is so worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And to be able to help build these people's businesses through your images and grow their businesses, you know, you also don't know where that's going to take them in the future. And one day they might be a big business with big money to spend. And they're going to still come to you because you've been there since the start and they trust you and they know you.
So smart.
So, yeah. So, I again, when I attend expos, I'll often go and connect with other businesses that I know are small businesses that I want to connect with, that I believe in, that I love the product, that I'm genuinely interested in working with. Not just, you know, I don't just go to everybody and try and, you know, talk to everybody. I try and make sure that I talk to the people who I actually want to talk to. And if it's something like an expo, I'll take a printed letter and, you know, a PDF of my introductory offer, and I'll take them a little box of cakes, chocolate brownies, or, you know, and say, you know, because these expos, like I said, you know, they are busy, intense 3 days or, you know, whatever of non-stop talking. You don't often get a chance to take a break. You don't often get to go and, you know, wander around yourself. Mm-hmm. So, you know, here's a little sugar hit to get you through the next couple of hours and just, you know, doing something nice for them, you know. Yeah. And then that gets a conversation going. And again, you know, at events like that, it's not always possible to talk business then, but, you know, can I call you next week and maybe we can arrange to meet for a coffee? And so that's how I've built my commercial side of the business. And I guess from working with those smaller businesses, you know, you start to build a client list, you start to build a commercial portfolio, And then the larger businesses start to notice you.
Right.
You know, if you want to, well, you know, in the pet world, you know, your Pedigrees and your Purinas are the big guys. It's nigh on impossible to reach somebody there in the marketing department that's going to book you directly. Mm-hmm. You know, those come through agencies and they'll come to you, those kind of jobs. And so when you've started doing some of that kind of smaller level commercial work and you get recognized for that, then some of the kind of middle-sized businesses might start coming to you. And that's how it's kind of happened for me, is that, you know, I've done that small stuff. Some of the middle-sized guys that maybe are not, they're not international brands, but they're New Zealand brands, that they are in stores all across New Zealand, that, you know, they've come to me and I've done packaging for them. And then, you know, I got the messages from Mars and Nestle saying, hey, we've got this brand of dog food and we need a photographer. Send us a quote.
Right.
I have maybe two or three big commercial jobs a year. That's probably enough for me. You know.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, is what is your split between what you do? Yeah.
Well, I guess that's changed quite a lot in the last couple of years, because I started doing workshops and things like that in 2016. But over the last
workshops, helping other photographers.
Yeah, exactly. Over the last couple of years, I've teamed up with a friend of mine, Charlotte Reeves, and we started Unleashed Education, which is our online education business. So we do our in-person workshops and we teach online with that. So a lot of my time is spent on Unleashed now. So I have started reducing the amount of client shoots I'm doing to allow time for Unleashed. But I'm still doing, my business model was always based on shooting two sessions a week, you know, two sessions a week. And my average sale always needed to be $2,500 for the last 10 years. And so that's always what my business model has been based on. Of course, my average sale is now higher, so I don't need to shoot twice a week. But I'm shooting three or four sessions a month at the moment. And I'm doing, I'm still doing the same kind of amount of commercial work. And I'm doing all my adoption shoots still as well. So I'm shooting for clients and adoption work, maybe 10 shoots a month.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Yeah. And then the rest of my time is spent doing the education stuff. And I have lots of...
Sounds like a nice balance.
Yeah, it is a nice balance. And, you know, I wanted to make sure when Charlotte and I teamed up together for Unleashed that I didn't just become a full-time educator. I still want to be able to work with clients. Like that. That's what I love to do. You know, I love to connect with these people and their dogs and still shoot client work. So I didn't want to lose sight of that to start doing the education stuff in a more, I don't know if serious way is the right word, but, you know, in a greater capacity and taking on a lot more in the education space. So, yeah, so I've found a really nice balance of the two, really, and I love all, like, this is the dream now for me, I think, you know, all aspects of this business that I'm doing, I just absolutely love every minute of it. And, I can photograph dogs. I can talk about dogs. I can help other people build their businesses and build their creative skills in this industry as well. And it's just, perfect, really. I'm absolutely loving it.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
Very cool. Sounds like an amazing, amazing balance.
Yeah. I think just in general, as photographers, you know, we have that power to build the life that we want to live.
Yes.
And, you know, we can shoot in any way we want. We can use any business model we want, but to use what we do and what we're passionate about doing to build a life for ourselves is something that not everybody gets to do.
Exactly.
And I'm very grateful for the fact that I'm at this point in my career, it's basically an obsession. And, you know, what I'm doing is my obsession and I get to make a living doing it and travel the world doing it. So, very, very grateful for the opportunities.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thanks for sharing everything with us. This has been really, really great. And I hope that people listening who have ever had kind of doubts about whether or not it was possible to do pet photography will really kind of take this to heart.
Yeah, absolutely. You just have to know the animals and find the clients. And you can do it.
Cool. Well, thank you. This has been wonderful.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun talking to you.
Oh my gosh, I almost forgot to ask you the questions that I always ask at the end of each episode. All right, I have a couple more questions. And the first one is, what is something you can't live without when you're doing a photo shoot?
Noisemakers.
Ah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a dog photographer's camera bag looks probably a little bit different to other photographers in that, you know, well, not only is it covered in mud and God knows what else from dog slobber and all the rest of it, but we have noisemakers, squeakers, squeaky toys, balls, poo bags, bottles of water, and treats. So, but yeah, noisemakers are really, really handy. I have a duck caller that is probably the most useful one, I think, for getting
a duck caller
attention. A duck caller.
Yeah. And then the dog just kind of like looks right at you when you do it.
When you blow that duck caller and it makes the quacking noise, the dog kind of goes, oh. And you get a good expression and a nice reaction.
Yeah.
But they get bored easily, so you can't overuse the sounds. So
that's a good point. They get bored easy. Yeah.
Yeah. And another thing with kids, you know, you ask a thing or you make a sound or you tell a joke and it's funny the first three times and then they're over it. And dogs are not any different to that.
So, yep.
Yeah.
That's funny. I love it. All right. Number two is, how do you spend your time when you're not working?
I just like to chill out and do very little. I love watching TV. I've always been really passionate about music. So listening to music, but also going to live shows, going to musical theater. We see basically any show that comes locally and actually we travel a lot to see different things at the theater as well. And yeah, just a bit of yoga and relaxation and downtime, spending time with my boys and my husband and just doing really boring, normal stuff.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Number three is, what is your favorite inspirational quote?
If in doubt, apply more glitter. And that
I
is
like
that is a quote from my absolute favorite singer of all time, Kylie Minogue, and and really that quote is about being yourself. And in my I have an online course which is about finding who you are as an artist, finding your style, and not being afraid to express yourself creatively, and that kind of, if in doubt, apply more glitter. That glitter is you. That's your uniqueness, your sparkle, and making yourself who you are, and not be afraid to show that. So, that's my favorite quote. Definitely.
Oh, I love it. It's a great quote. There was the quote that I did when someone interviewed me. I think it was when Christina Weichel interviewed me, but I had said it was. It's a quote from some movie that I've never even seen, but it was something like, if you have a hunchback, put a little glitter on it, honey, and go dancing.
Oh, yep.
I was like, I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, whatever. You know, when we're young, all those things that make us different and stand out, they're kind of, you know, they're things that we're afraid of that, you know, probably the things that we got bullied for or, you know, whatever. And they can be places of trauma for us, you know. I never really hid who I was. I was always myself when I was young, but it did lead to, you know, lots of depression, self-harm, you know, I attempted suicide, and you know, and it led to some really dark places. But now I'm here, I'm in my 40s, and all of those things that I was afraid of being, even though I couldn't really hide them when I was young, are all the things that are now my biggest strengths, that the things that I like about myself the most. So, yeah. Yeah, throw glitter on anything that makes you different. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, oh wait, no, I have one more. Sorry, one more question. Why do I keep getting
one
this
more.
End of the, yeah, okay. Actually, I have two more. But this one is, what would you tell people who are just starting out?
Oh my goodness, so many things. What can I say that is not going to take me half an hour to explain?
That's okay, if it does.
So if you're starting out and pet photography is your thing, I think absolutely I would follow through and say knowing a bit about body language and behavior is really, really important. You know, the technical skills, the photography, your style, all that is going to come with time. But if you start out with a good knowledge of pets and how to read their body language, then that's going to make all of that other stuff flow much easier.
Yeah. That's so important. Just like posing. I mean, if you can't, okay, unless you're doing documentary lifestyle, okay, other than that. But if you're doing portraits where people want, like, have no idea what to do with their bodies and they're like, help me, you have got to learn how to pose. And I feel like it's the exact same for animals.
Yeah, for
and
sure. Yeah.
To, like you said, to check their stress level and their comfortability and all of that.
So. Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. And where can people find you online, Craig?
Okay, so you can find me at PhotographyNZ on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, I just want to say for us Americans, NZ is NZ.
Okay, yeah, sorry, NZ.
Just for that, just in case anybody doesn't know what that means.
So, that's Facebook, Instagram, or photography.co.nz is my website. And all my education stuff with Charlotte is at unleashed.education, and on socials it's unleashed.ed on Instagram and Facebook for the education stuff.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you again. I'm excited to meet you in New Zealand.
I can't wait till you're
in
New Zealand and we can have a cheeky cocktail together or something.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. I've never been to New Zealand, so this will be my first time.
Yeah, I think you're going to love it. Christchurch is gorgeous. I love living here. I've been here. How long have I been here? Since 2009, however long that is now.
Okay.
And yeah, I absolutely love living down here.
My husband's been. He went on a big BMX trip.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of places for good riding here for sure.
Yeah. But I haven't. So when they asked me to speak, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me when and I'll be there. So very cool.
That will be fantastic. We'll have a great few days together.
Yes. I know. I said this to you earlier on Facebook, but I was like, I'm going to be Richard's shadow because I don't know. I know a whole lot of people. I mean, I'll definitely know some people because like the portrait system has a really amazing, big community of Kiwis
and Aussies.
And it's I can't wait to meet some of them. And some of them have come to like Portrait Masters conferences and I've been able to meet here, WPPI or whatever, but it will be so cool to meet so many people in New Zealand.
I've been talking to lots of locals about it and there are a lot of people that are very excited you're coming. So
won't
have any shortage of friends when you're here.
Oh, that's so good to hear. You never know. Like, do people really want me? Do they really want me there? Like, I don't know. You just get in your own head, I guess. So,
Yeah.
That's exciting. Awesome. Well, thank you again. And I'm sure I'll talk to you some point before then. Awesome.
All right. Thanks Nikki.
Thank you so much for listening to the Portrait System podcast. Your 5-star reviews really help us to continue what we do. So if you like listening, would you mind giving us a review wherever you listen? I also encourage you to head over to SueBriceEducation.com where you can find all of the education you need to be a successful photographer. There are over 1,000 on-demand educational videos on things like posing, lighting, styling, retouching, shooting, marketing, sales, business, and self-value. There's also the 90-day startup challenge plus so many downloads showing hundreds of different poses. We have to-do checklists for your business, lighting PDFs, I mean, truly everything to help make you a better photographer and to make you more money. Once again, that's SueBriceEducation.com.